You're listening to the Fear Free Childbirth Show here on UK Health Radio with me, Alexia Leachman. Let me help you to take the fear out of pregnancy, birth, and beyond with a mix of real life stories and experts sharing their wisdom. I'll also be sharing psychology insights to help you to cultivate a fearless mindset. Be inspired and be empowered with Fear Free Childbirth. And now it's time for the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Fear Free Childbirth Show. My name is Alexia Leachman. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, on today's show, I've got a story for you. Someone who overcome tocophobia and is currently expecting baby number two. So today I'm joined by Heather. Now, Heather is a therapist who was suffering from severe tocophobia to the point that she wasn't even sure if she wanted kids. This was the question that was plaguing her when she decided to do one of my group programs. And she went through the process that I've developed to clear her fears. And this enabled her to make the decision that, yes, she did want to try for a family. Then they got pregnant, and then she had baby number one, and then decided to have baby number two. So Heather is coming on the show today to share her story, what tocophobia was like for her, you know, what she experienced and how it showed up in her life, what that journey was like in overcoming it. And today, you know, what that gives her in terms of a perspective, also from a therapist's perspective as well, on the condition that is tocophobia. So if you're suffering from tocophobia, I hope that this is a very inspiring conversation to listen to. But if you're a professional that supports women on this journey, then hopefully you'll gain some insights as to what tocophobia is all about and how it shows up. And if you're interested in doing the group program that Heather did, then I'm opening that at the moment. So if you're interested in joining, getting rid of your tocophobia among a group of other women also facing this and doing this together, then head over to the Fear Free Childbirth site, where you will find details for the Tocophobia Clearance Group program. And if you'd prefer to work with me on your own, then the Tocophobia Support Program is my most popular program at the moment for those that want one-to-one support. Okay, so back to the show. And here is the time that I spoke to Heather all about her journey in overcoming tocophobia and having babies. So let's just start at the beginning. What was tocophobia like for you when you were in the throes of it?
Yes, and well, initially, I probably didn't know it was tocophobia, to be fair. I just didn't know that word to begin with. It was just that I hated children, hated the thought of being pregnant, hated the idea that was not for me in any way, and would just try to avoid all contact with birth or new babies completely, because it literally sent me into a panic. I remember dizziness, sweating, just feeling like I was going to faint whenever there was any discussion of somebody being pregnant or giving birth. It was quite physically overwhelming.
And was that always like that for you since you were a teenager or like even younger?
Yeah, I can't remember when I was really little, but I certainly remember, I don't know if this kicked it off, I don't want to say that, but I remember a cousin of mine had just given birth. I was a young teenager at the time, and she was telling her birth story, and I had to be taken out of the room. My mum had to take me out because I was about to faint. I just, this sounds awful, absolutely horrific. So that was maybe 13, 14 years old. Is the first time I really remember it.
And so at what point did you realise that what you were suffering from was there a point where you thought, oh my God, am I just completely crazy?
Yeah, I just thought I was really strange because like women are supposed to want to have babies, and every other woman, you know, seemed to love the idea of having a baby. And I just thought so differently. I thought I must just be really strange. Like I couldn't identify with anybody really, because I couldn't imagine why anybody would ever want to be pregnant. So it left me just feeling a bit odd and different, I guess. And I couldn't really say that to anybody.
But for those listening, Heather is pregnant right now with her baby number two.
Absolutely, which is a position 20 years ago, like what we were talking about just now, I would never, ever have thought possible. And now I'm quite happy about it. So there you go.
So you were, yeah, so you couldn't handle the idea of pregnancy. So
no.
At what point did you realise that you had this thing, that it had a name, that you had it? That,
yeah.
What was that discovery process like for you? How did you come about to learn about tocophobia?
I think it was just kind of around the time I was getting married, probably. Because I just thought, well, I hate children. I don't want to be a mother. I just don't want that. So I never really researched into it because I just thought that was the decision that I'd made. But then when my husband was keen to have children, that sent me into a kind of spiral of high anxiety. And I started looking it up, as you do, you Google things and start to research what's out there. So it was probably around that time, which maybe now is about four or five years ago.
Yeah.
Now. And that's when I started to come across mainly your work in terms of the podcasts and this word tocophobia, which was quite revolutionary to think there was a word for it. I wasn't just this odd character that hated kids.
So once you realised that it was a thing, and that, did you self-diagnose? Or did you go and see somebody, a professional, to get you to diagnose you? I mean, what was your, to make that shift from, oh, there's this thing, and actually that's what I've got. Like, was that confirmed to you externally, or did you make that decision? How did that unfold?
Yeah, I had been to see a therapist in the past. That word was never used. We were just talking around, I suppose, the decision-making of having children, the idea of being a parent more so, but it was never really about the fear and the tocophobia. So no, I just read it myself, and just every single line I identified with it made complete sense to me. So it was a self-diagnosis at that point.
And so once you realized you had it, then what was your, like, what were you going through then? You're like, oh my god, this isn't, I'm not, did it, was it like, I'm not weird, this is a thing? Like, what was going on through your mind at that point?
It was quite nice to think that other people maybe felt the same way. Not that I wanted other people to suffer like that, but it was nice to think, well, maybe there is a kind of community out there of people that feel the same, that this isn't just me. And maybe I can talk to someone about it who might understand a little bit. So it was, there was a bit of a weight off at that point, I think. To think I wasn't just alone with this, because actually, I guess looking for therapists or places to go in the past, that word was never mentioned. So I never really knew who to go to speak to, apart from kind of general anxiety and stuff like that. There wasn't really a specialist, if you like.
No. So does that mean that when you did speak to therapists, that they weren't really hitting the mark in terms of really what they were saying about what you might be suffering didn't really resonate with? Well, they don't quite get it. They don't quite realise how strong this is. Or was there like, were they missing it somehow? Is that what that was like?
I think so, because I think, childbirth, pregnancy, it's quite a scary thing anyway. A lot of women are quite nervous of it. So there was always maybe a bit of dismissiveness, not intentionally in other people, but just a bit like, oh yeah, it's normal to be a bit scared of giving birth, but it's fine, just kind of, it'll be fine. They didn't really realise the absolute terror that gripped me, I didn't think. Yeah.
So that terror that gripped you, describe that a little bit for those, let's say those therapists listening, so they get a real handle on how this showed up for you.
Well, it was phobic. As a therapist myself, it was a phobia, that's absolutely right. It was, whenever being presented by the thing, it was the physical sensations of wanting to faint, heart racing, panic, anxiety. I mean, I couldn't sleep at night thinking about it. I would avoid everything to do with it. I would take myself out of situations. I couldn't watch things on TV. That would start to panic me if I saw stories about something or television programs, just like if someone's scared of spiders. Or
except babies and families and pregnant women are everywhere in a way that spiders quite not.
And you're meant to like pregnant people, and you're meant to go towards them, whereas being scared of spiders, I guess, is
And so what was that like for you in terms of friends, family, people sharing scans on Facebook, parent-in-laws or whoever, family members, go, oh, you know, when, you know, asking the question, are you going to be a, you know, when are you going to have kids? You know, all of that pressure that women have around kids and family and all of that. What was that like for you?
I think I've just always been so certain to everybody, I am never having children. So family and friends sort of knew that about me.
Yeah.
And so the fact that I've got a baby, they were completely shocked. So they never really pushed it. But I suppose more strangers, people who weren't so close to me, it was just a bit, it was frustrating all the time. It was this kind of like not being listened to. I wouldn't tell them the level of fear that I felt, though. You know, I just kind of pretend, oh, I don't want that. You know, I want to be free and do my own thing. And
Yeah. You dress it up, you rationalise it, you make it okay that you don't want kids. I that's what I did as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about with relationships then, in terms of, you know, partners and that, the conversation? I don't know, like, did you have the kids conversation and did you have that before with other partners? I mean, what was that like for you? The sort of the broaching of this and the kind of the knowing that, oh my God, there's going to be a point where we're going to have to talk about this. So it's going to be on the cards possibly. And how did that affect you in the relationship?
I think the main way it affected relationships was, I mean, I, for a long time, really struggled to have sexual intercourse. That, I think the terror was, for me, was so high of getting pregnant, my body just tensed up and literally closed up. I really struggled with that side of relationships.
Yeah.
Because of a fear of getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Ultimately. So that caused a strain and difficulties in relationships, obviously. I guess luckily previous partners hadn't been that bothered about having kids. So it hadn't really come up in that way, but I guess the sexual side of things made it difficult, and I did try to seek help for that. But again, because the professionals at that time didn't know it was talkophobia, it was treated in a very different way that wasn't really helpful.
So it didn't really work because they weren't really going to the root of what it was.
Yeah, exactly. So it was again kind of misunderstanding. I didn't really feel that they knew what was going on in my head, even though I tried to explain it.
Do you think you knew what was going on in your head? So you were explaining it, but do you think you kind of did you know what was going on, or was it a bit puzzling and a bit like, well, I don't understand why I'm feeling this way? Like, how much of that did you know, or were you aware of?
It was really puzzling to begin with, I think, because obviously, well, you know, I'm talking when I'm much younger, and you know, not now, it's totally different. But back then, you know, you want to be out having sex in your relationship. So you know, there was like a part of me that really wanted to do that, but then it was like my body was like, no, absolutely not, which was really upsetting and confusing because I didn't quite put two and two together then, but. Then I guess, you know, I would do things like start taking the morning after pill excessively, or, you know, use different types of contraception all at once because I didn't trust that one would be enough, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I guess it dawned on me a bit more as I was thinking about it that this probably is to do with a fear of getting pregnant.
So then let's shift to the time or that period where you've figured out what you've got, what's going on, and you're like, right, I think I need to sort this out. I want to sort this out. So talk us through that phase for you.
Yeah, again, that I probably buried my head in the sand completely and thought, you know, I got engaged, so we were going to be married. And I thought, oh, you know, my husband, he won't want kids. We hadn't had the conversation.
Yeah, snap.
That was obviously my avoidance coming in again. And then he had a throwaway comment like, oh yeah, you know, we'll get married, then we'll have kids, you know, the year after or whatever. I was like, what? And he sent me into spiral of high anxiety for probably about a year. But as I say, I started researching and thought, right, I need to sort this out because I actually want to be with this person and I want this to work out. So I need to kind of get my head round it. So I did start taking it more seriously then.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And then what was that like for you when you, because I know that there's a lot of women that approach me and they inquire and they're like, oh, you know, and then they find it really hard to actually shift into, okay, I'm going to sort this out, because the fear is so great that even just starting or even the possibility of having to kind of face up to these fears is too great, and they can't sign up. I've had people book, sign up, pay, and then they never show up ever for a session because they're so terrified. So just talk us through that what was that bit like for you, that kind of, oh my god, am I going to do this, like take a deep breath, go, it's like that psyching yourself up. What was that like?
Yeah, it was scary, but in a way I kind of maybe fooled myself and thought, well, I'll just do this and then I'll see how I feel about it. So I wasn't kind of telling myself at that point, well, this is going to result in me having a child.
Yeah,
I'm just going to do what I can and put everything into figuring this out and understanding it. So I was willing to do that, I guess, for the sake of my relationship, because I really wanted that to work out. But actually, there was a bit of excitement within the fear as well, because I thought, well, I'm going to talk to people who know what this is and who have this as well. And there was something quite comforting in that too.
Mm.
Just to kind of talk to people who understood it. So yeah. I felt okay about starting the work, but still at that point, never thinking that I would actually go on to get pregnant.
Really. Yeah.
Just, I'll just find out about this.
Yeah. I'm just sort of getting some info in and getting some info.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of look like I'm doing something about it so that I could tell her.
It's like I said, I made an effort.
Exactly. I'll make an effort and then I'll still say no at the end of it, but at least I'll have tried.
And now look at the mess you're in. You're in your second pregnancy.
That didn't work out so well.
I know. Sorry. Hello. Sorry. So basically, you signed up for one of my group programs. Mm-hmm. So there's a group of you all going through clearing your fears together of that month together.
Yeah.
So What was that like for you, that process of kind of confronting your fears and kind of going through the process of, confronting it, clearing them, you know, talking to others? What was that process like?
I think I went into it honestly thinking this will never work. Like, I just didn't really think anything would work or come of it. So I maybe had quite low expectations to begin with. But then it just did start working, and I still don't quite know the ins and outs of that, but it did. And actually, I really relished the calls. I loved the calls. There was 4 or 5 other women on it, and just being able to talk openly like this, like, I've never told anybody this stuff. You know, good friends, family members, a couple of them know I've got a bit of a fear, but actually being able to be really honest was amazing for me. I loved those calls.
And not get judged, because I think a lot of women expect you to want kids, love kids, and then when you don't, there's a lot of judgment around that when you come and say I don't. And so to be in an environment where there isn't that is...
Yeah, and actually for people, you know, if you do say it to anyone, they're like, oh, it'll be fine. Yeah. You know, everybody's scared of giving birth. But that just didn't really hit it. Whereas when I could talk to them, didn't say it would be fine, but not in a negative way, but just really understood where the fear was coming from. That was really comforting and supportive.
So how, you said, and then it started working. So how quickly did that start working for you? Like, at what point did you start noticing a shift in how you were feeling, like the glimmers of, like, the light started cracking through kind of thing? At what point, how long did that take for you?
I think I remember I started your program, I think, around the January time. And then, well, by that October I was pregnant, so but I guess glimmers, like, I would just then start to, you know, I was on your website where there was all the videos and the talks and things like that, and I was quite eager to watch them all the time, which is something I would have avoided completely in the past, you know. So within a month or two, I was really into all that, and it was quite all consuming. And so even just going towards that kind of information was quite a shift. And then I think probably by kind of May, June time, I don't remember exactly, but I think it's sort of agreed, okay, I will try to get pregnant. I put a date on it. I said, I'll start trying in September, because I wanted to go on this sort of last holiday, I thought, before my life was ruined. So I kind of put a date in place then. And then came back and we did that.
And I am I right in thinking or remembering that you noticed that you started to sleep better as a result of doing the work that we did? And the anxiety went down as well.
Absolutely, because for the year prior to that, I was an anxious mess. I'd be up in the middle of the night crying. I just was not sleeping at all. It was really awful. It kind of took over all my thoughts, because I was so stuck in this indecision and not knowing what to do and where to go. So, yeah, I was sleeping better. My husband certainly noticed the difference when I was doing the clearances. I was much calmer even before I'd made the final decision, I think.
So even though the tocophobia brought you to the table, as it were, to get you to do the work, the impact of that work was beyond the tocophobia. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think so, because I was just a good bit less anxious in general. And, you know, as I've said to you, even since then, you know, giving up my job, gone self-employed, all these things that would have been real fears for me in the past. I think I was always quite held back by fear and taking risks and, you know, things that are out of control, all the stuff in pregnancy that you fear, the being out of control, the unknown. You know, it's the same with work and things like that. So there's been difference in those areas as well.
So you went, you had baby number one, and so... the thing that you feared the most, that was terrifying to you, what was it like sort of approaching that, you know, like now confronting the reality of this thing that is terrifying, like terrorized you like half your life kind of thing, or most of your life. What was, you know, like, what was that like?
I think there was probably still a little bit of denial there. You know, I thought, okay, well, we'll try to get pregnant. I'll, you know, come off contraception and things like that. But still in my head, I was probably saying, well, it wouldn't happen, you know, because everybody said, oh, you're too old now. It'll take years to get pregnant because you'd left it quite late trying to work through all this stuff. Yeah. So I kind of thought, yeah, we'll start trying and that'll be lovely, but I'll have a good couple of years. And then the first month I got pregnant and I was like, oh my God, which is really lovely. And I know how lucky I am for that to happen because it's hard for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I think my own denial probably got me through to think, oh, that won't happen. I'll just sign up to it.
Yeah.
And then it did. So that was another bit of a shock. I think I had a bit of a wobble at that point.
Yeah.
Not too much.
And did you find that your fear, like a lot of women that I work with, they want to keep a session in the bag for when they get pregnant, because they work with me usually before pregnancy when they're planning in a way that like you did. And then they're like, but I want to wait until I'm pregnant. I want to keep a session back because they just imagine that the minute they're pregnant, all these new fears are going to pile in and they're going to need help for that stuff. So was that what happened for you? Did you find that the minute you were pregnant, that things changed or that new fears came along, or were you like, oh, okay, so I'm actually pregnant? Like, what was that, the moment that you found out, like, and how that looked from a fear perspective?
I think the moment I found out, I mean, certainly I didn't speak for that whole evening. That wasn't a bit of shock.
Yeah.
But after that cleared, actually I thought, oh, I still kind of feel the same. Like, I'm okay. I kind of imagined in my head the minute I got pregnant, this awful thing would happen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was just, I don't know what I thought would happen. I just thought it would feel unbearable and awful. Whereas actually then I found out I was pregnant and, well, I was still okay. I was still able to breathe. You know, there was nothing painful about it. It was okay. So that wasn't like I expected it to be. And it was manageable then.
The shock is quite something, though, isn't it? I think even without fear, you probably would go through that shock if it's an unplanned pregnancy.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that seems silly because it was planned in a way we were trying. I still acted as if it was this real shock that I never saw coming, even though obviously I did. But yeah, it was, I can't say I loved being pregnant. I don't love being pregnant, but it was manageable. Like it was almost, I use this word quite a lot, but I don't mean it negatively. It was almost a kind of nothingness, which to me is much better than the awfulness that I'd imagined it being.
Yeah, yeah. So you weren't this sort of, you know, you don't feel like you have this glowing, incredible, like earth mother kind of experience. It's just been like, just get me through it. This is just exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like it's fine, that's the best I can say of it. But actually, to be fine during it to me is amazing.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, maybe it's a shame that I'm not like this glowing, blooming person.
But you are. But like, I see you now, and you do look that.
Thank you. I don't feel it inside, but that's nice. But yeah, actually, for it just to be fine and know that I can do it and I can manage it is more than I ever imagined possible. So that's fine.
And so the birth, you talk us through the coming up to the birth then, and like, you know, this is, was your tocophobia, one thing I didn't ask you, which I shouldn't, is, was your tocophobia more about the fear of pregnancy or the fear of birth, or was it a bit of both?
It was both.
Yeah.
Everything from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Terrified me. Before.
Okay. So the pregnancy ended up being fine. So what about the birth, like coming up to the birth then, what was that like for you as somebody that was facing the thing that's been terrorising you?
So yeah, I mean, there was anxiety there. I can't lie about that. There were nerves there as you approach it, as I think maybe most people would have a level of that, this unknown thing. But I had really great support from the hospital. And all the professionals there, I think I'm really lucky, you know, what other people say, but it was so supportive. And I went down the route of choosing an elective cesarean, which still, although it seems like the easy option, it's still that way of giving birth still terrified me as well. Both of them did.
Yeah.
In the beginning, that was just like the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
So I went down that route. So yeah, it was, I was a bit nervous on the day.
Yeah.
but I did it. And actually, I was sitting reading a magazine in the hospital waiting, you know.
Yeah.
Not out of my mind in terror.
Yeah, breathing into a bag, trying to
calm myself. Yeah, I was, you know, sitting, on my phone, reading a magazine, just waiting for it to happen. I mean, it's not the most pleasurable experience, but it was fine.
And when you, so you would have asked for the elective C-section, you would have said, look, this is, talk us through what that was like with the, you said you had a really good support team. So did you just sort of explain to them, hey, look, you know, I just need to go through it, do it this way because it just makes me feel so much better. I've got fear around that, you know, like, did you just talk them through all that? And then were they like, oh yeah, no problem. Yes, we can do that. That's fine. Is that how that was for you? Or?
Yeah. I was really honest because I thought I want all the support that I can get here. Yeah. And I had, well, me being me and wanting to control everything, before I'd even started trying to get pregnant, I'd spoken to an obstetrician to see, just to make sure they do elective cesareans and that there was no issue with that in my health board. And she was like, yeah, of course you can. Totally your choice. You're the woman. It's up to you. There's no problem. We'll do that. So I'd already went in kind of knowing that, which I speak to a lot of women who don't know that.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't have a choice. And I think it's really important that people have a choice in how they do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just said that. I still have. I've got the same midwife this time as well. She's the best midwife in the world. I would have asked for her for this one if I didn't have her. And she was just so understanding and supportive. And, you know, the word talkophobia is on my notes so that people seem to understand that. Like, the consultant talks about it. I don't know how much she knows, but she uses the word and seems very understanding. So it was never an issue.
Brilliant.
Which I was really relieved about because I thought I might go into the hospital and kind of have a fight on my hands. To get what I wanted, but there was
that's really good because you're right. There's a lot of women, and I get a lot of questions from women where they have a real worry about, well, I really need to have the C-section. What if they don't give it to me? What if I've got to, you know, fight? You just don't want to have to fight on this journey because it's difficult enough as it is.
Yeah,
so know that actually, if you just ask for it, you'll get it because
that's it.
A good reason to get a C-section, you know.
Yeah, and whether your choice is a home birth or an elective cesarean. It should be your choice and you shouldn't have to fight for what one you want to have.
So what was your birth like? Like, you know, what was your C-section like? Like, how was that for you?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimising your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The actual operation, like being in the theatre, you know, I suppose in my head over many years, I built it up to be this awful thing that I would just die. I just always assumed I was going to die.
Yeah.
That was it. Or it would be this horrifically painful thing that went on forever. But actually, we were laughing and joking and everybody was so nice. It was very relaxed. There were 10 or 15 people in the theatre. I'd never been in a theatre before. I didn't know what they all did, but, you know, they were all, it was just lovely. It was such a relaxed environment. I was sitting listening, you know, the radio was on. The anaesthetist was chatting away to me the whole time. The baby was literally out before I even realised they'd gone in. It was so quick. I felt nothing, absolutely nothing. Even, I think one of my fears still up to the very end was kind of having the spinal injection in. That still scared me a lot. I didn't feel it. It was amazing. So it was quite shocking in a way. Are we ready? And then, you know, that the numbness, again, that was quite scary to me, the thought of it before.
Yeah.
It was fine.
So that moment then after, you know, you got your baby.
Yeah.
And then maybe you took a moment at some point in that first few hours or days and you thought, oh my God, I never thought I'd be sitting here with a bit like I don't know, talk me through that, like that moment where it maybe just hit you what you'd achieved, you know?
Yeah. I think maybe for a lot of women, certainly I was, I suppose, in a kind of state of shock for
days. Yeah. Still am.
Yeah, just the thought of having a newborn, you know, I think it's a bit of a shock to anybody. So it was an odd sensation, I guess, just to, okay, even in the sort of recovery in the hospital afterwards, just having this little baby lying next to me in the cot. I thought, oh, that's strange. I don't know that I quite connected at first, almost the fact that it came out of me. it was a strange sensation, but not an unpleasant one, just a shock for a good few days.
And did you kind of like take a moment to kind of pat yourself on the back and go, look, you've just overcome one of the biggest fears of your life, and look, I've got a bit, like, I don't know, have you kind of had a word with yourself and given yourself a hug about that? And, I don't know, like, you know.
I don't know that I have actually done that. And that's a good point, because I guess that's probably one of my flaws, is that I maybe don't stop and think what I've achieved. But yeah, I mean, maybe more so in the second pregnancy, I've kind of taken stock of that a little bit more. It's maybe taken me up to this time to do that, to think, wow, I've got a baby, and here I am having another one. It's not just like the first one was a mistake. I'm actively adding to that.
I'm doing it again. Yeah. It
seems in a way even more amazing to me.
And so now is your, like, what, you're about 6 to 8 weeks away from another baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how are you feeling now? How are you feeling now about what's ahead of you in terms of the birth?
Yeah, the birth this time, I hope I know what to expect, because I'm going the same route. It's the same, you know, midwives, same doctors. So there isn't that same level of fear this time at all about the birth. I think it's maybe there's a bit of fear around, oh my goodness, how am I going to manage a 2-year-old and a newborn?
Yeah.
Consumed actually by that.
Yeah.
More so.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been in and out of hospital and the clinics and everything like that. And not enjoyed it and loved it, but managed it, yeah. Managed well. I was away for a diabetes test the other day, which involved, you know, doing blood samples and all that kind of thing. And I hated needles and the idea of that. But then I went in myself and did it, and it was fine.
I mean, you're just a bit of a badass now, aren't you, really?
Well, I know I can do it. I've done it. There's a different, there isn't the same. It's that unknown, isn't it? That this time I don't have the unknown. But yeah, things can always go wrong. Like, you can't prepare for everything. But it's that there's no unknown of, you know, having never been in a theatre before, or never had a spinal before, or never been under anaesthetic before. You know, I've kind of done all that now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something you choose to do every day, but.
No, you've done it.
Fear around it.
So thinking about putting on your kind of therapist hat on for a minute, and kind of almost looking back at your own journey and maybe the way that tocophobia kind of showed up for you, what kind of key themes were at the, like, made up your tocophobia? You've mentioned control a bit and the fear of the unknown and the uncertainty, and those are some very common themes that show up for women on this journey. But I'm just wondering if, you know, with your knowledge of the psyche, as it were, what how would you describe how tocophobia presented for you? What kind of themes?
Yeah, it was absolutely the fear of losing control.
Yeah.
In lots of different ways. Losing control of my life that I like, losing control of my body and the changes, losing control, you know, just when a baby comes and everything being out of control. And the unknown, the uncertainty of it all, which underpins all anxiety. Anyone who comes to therapy with anxiety, it's a fear of the unknown and a fear of loss of control. It's just kind of honed in on that specific thing, which is the phobia of that one thing.
Yeah. And so do you know why, have you got any inklings as to why you know, some people have anxiety around the fear of the unknown and the things that we just talked about, but for you it showed up as tocophobia. Do you have an opinion as to why, or thoughts as to why you had tocophobia and maybe some other people don't? Is there anything in your life story that kind of would suggest that, oh, well, this is probably where it came from? Or are you kind of a little bit, well, I'm still not really sure where this came from for me? I think, where are you at on that?
Yeah, I think I'm quite clear now why it would have cottoned onto that aspect as opposed to other things. From as early as I can remember, my mum would describe what an awful, horrific birth she had with me that went on for days, and it's just an awful thing. And I think for a child to hear that, it's quite traumatising, because, you know, that's a scary thing to hear, and that just obviously stuck in my head. And then was probably exacerbated by that family member who'd also, you know, I think she was describing the baby getting stuck and things like that, and, you know, just horrible things that I probably shouldn't have heard at these ages.
Yeah.
And that was just then how I assumed birth was. There was no alternative for me. That birth could be a pleasurable experience or a positive experience in any way.
Mm.
It was just awful and to be avoided at all costs.
And of course, reinforced by films and TV all the time.
Yeah, everything that tells you how awful it is. So there was nothing else to counter that argument. You know, so when your own mother is telling you that.
Yeah.
And family members, and then wider society, all the messages. It wasn't like there was an alternative option that it could be.
And so thinking about therapists that may be confronted with someone that is presenting with tocophobia, what do you have any advice advice for them to help them better support those women should they be presented with somebody like that?
I think first and foremost is take it really seriously, as seriously as you would any other fear or phobia.
Mm.
Because the most awful thing when you go to talk to a professional is kind of being dismissed.
Mm.
You know, okay, everyone feels like that, well, you'll be fine, you'll manage.
Yeah.
It's not taken seriously.
Yeah.
So I think really listening to the person's concerns.
Mm.
and getting when I started working with you, you kind of took a full history. There were loads of questions. I can't remember them all now, but loads. But it kind of went back into the past and past experiences and past messages, and also what were the actual fears? Because you can say a fear of pregnancy, but what is the fear? You know, for me, it was needles, but it was also vomiting and being morning sickness. It was something inside my body I couldn't get out when I wanted to. Being really specific and breaking the fears down, I think.
And do you think having knowledge, like in-depth knowledge of experience of tocophobia is required? Like some of the women, the reason I'm asking this is because a lot of women that I work with, they say it just, nobody understands, because they don't understand, like they're not helping. Yeah. And so I'm just wondering, with your perspective, now that, you know, you've experienced it, you work in that field, or I do too, but we both experienced it. Yeah. And for me, I think it's really important to understand it. And it's quite a unique condition, in my view, because some people say phobias are irrational, and therefore irrational being, they don't make sense. But this does make total sense, because you can actually die from birth. And so maternal mortality rates are very high, and they're even more so now. Even when we worked together. And so this isn't irrational. This makes perfect sense for women. But unless you really understand some of those intricacies of how this fear shows up, and how what the different elements of it are, you know, the different facets, the different themes. For me, I feel like, you know, once you know what those themes are, it's really easy to work through that very quickly with somebody. Yeah. Whereas if you don't know the condition, you could just be wandering around in the dark for a bit. What's your view on that?
Definitely, you have to go to someone who has an understanding of it, because otherwise you do need to be able to break it down.
Yeah.
And if people haven't even heard of the word tocophobia, how can they do that? You know, you need to be able to not even just say a fear of pregnancy and or childbirth, but what are these specific bits to it? So that, as you say, you chunk it down. And then you can work through it bit by bit, which is how I did it.
Yeah.
Because childbirth and pregnancy is very general. There's 100 aspects to that.
Yeah, no, it's so huge.
Uh-huh. And I can be terrified of one bit, but someone else would be terrified of a different bit that I'm not. So it's really breaking it down to understand and listen to that. And whilst, you know, I've been to other therapists, they're very good and kind and listen. If they don't know what it is, they're not going to ask the right questions. And get to the heart of it.
And so knowing what you know about the condition now, and knowing what you know with your experience in therapy, do you think that by simply the therapist just having a really good solid understanding of the condition and the tools and the therapy techniques that are available to them, that this means that really, you know, women should be able to get the support they need? Or do you think that there are limits to potentially some of the techniques out there that mean that even with the understanding, they might not be able to fully get what they need? I mean, what's your view on that?
I think I've always believed, even before I met you, that there are hundreds of different types of therapies. There are loads of different types. We work in different ways, and there are lots of different ways out there. But it's unique to each individual person. So you have to find the type of therapy that's right for you.
Mm.
And works for you, I think. But as long as the therapist has an understanding of this condition, I think that's what's important. And you might find, well, that way of working just isn't for me, but another way is. But it's the understanding of it. And you know, we have that in other areas as well. You know, and in the field I work with, you know, you might specialise in eating disorders or OCD or depression, and you would go to someone who has more expertise in really specific areas. Why is tocophobia not one of them?
Well, it's a good question. And that's what I hope, that by having these conversations, that women, that therapists, that the professionals out there can better understand it, so that more women can get the support they need. Because I think it's because the condition is so little talked about, so hardly known, even though it affects up to 35% of women. I mean, we're not talking small numbers here. This should be. Everybody needs to know about this condition. It's you know, it's not a niche condition. It's common, in my view. And a lot of women that don't, because they avoid pregnancy, when people are researching this topic and understanding the prevalence rate of it, and they immediately go to women that are pregnant. But obviously that's kind of you've already limited the pool, you know, because there's a lot of women that have this that are never going to get pregnant. And so the real true number of women that have tocophobia is going to be far higher than any estimate that we see, because they've eliminated, they're not asking the right people. They're not opening the net wide enough, in my view.
No, you should be asking women who don't have children.
Yeah, like, why you have kids, you know. Yeah. So I'm very grateful for you, Heather, to have this conversation with me, so we can help everybody better understand what's going on, and particularly for the women suffering from it, who could think, oh my God, like you did, oh my God, I'm not alone, I'm not crazy. I thought I was a crazy person when I had it, and I just thought I was a lost soul that was just like damaged beyond belief.
Yeah, it's a lost cause. There's nothing done.
So thank you, Heather, for sharing your journey. Is there anything else that you'd like to maybe impart any maybe advice for those that are suffering to move through this that can help them? Because I know that the one thing that surprises me, I know that there are some women that have it and they have no wish or desire to overcome it or get rid of it. They kind of just want to keep it and go through the pregnancy. I personally, I don't understand that position, because I'm like, well, why would you want to hold on to something that's so unpleasant? But they that's their design. So if that's what they want to do, that's fine. I'm just wondering if you could maybe speak to that.
I guess sometimes people want to hold on to their fear, don't they? Because it's who they are. It's all they've ever known. And it's that fear of the unknown again. Mm. Well, if I don't have that fear, does that mean that I'd have to have lots of children, or that I'd have to enjoy this, or that I'd have to have a natural birth with no pain relief if that's not what you want to do? Because, you know, the fear, I guess, it can be a bit of an excuse in that as well. And it's just holding on to what you're familiar with, even when it's negative. But I would just urge people to, well, reach out for help. Just talk, you know, to you, do your program, reach out and just make a start. It doesn't mean you have to have children. Just understand it so that you can make a decision not from a place of fear. That's the most important thing. And you might still decide you don't want kids, and that's absolutely fine. But just don't not do it because of fear.
Yeah, I've had a lot of women that want to work with me because I want to make this decision.
Yes, well, that's what I was
doing. Yeah, I just need to make this decision, and I want to make it from a place where I know that 10 years down the line, I'm going to trust that decision and live with it, not regret it. And if I make it from fear, I just don't know. I can't guarantee that I'm going to be able to live with this decision.
Yeah.
You know, once you're too old to have kids and you might change your mind, you're like, oh, that's really tough. I've also worked with women that needed to make peace with that. And I think that might be one reason why some women don't want to get rid of their tocophobia, because they've maybe made some difficult decisions in the past. And if they get rid of it now, it's like, well, what does that mean about the things I've done? You know, I've worked with women that have had several abortions of babies that they wanted, and told their husband that they had a miscarriage each time. Mm-hmm. And so confronting, you know, maybe the guilt of doing that, or making sense of that, it's easy to go, and no, I'm going to stay with my fear, because it, you know, otherwise what does that make me? Yeah. And that's a difficult thing to come to terms with. Yeah. So it's easy to stay with fear.
Well, yeah, it is, because people, it restricts your life in a way, but actually that keeping your life small is comfort. It's that comfort zone, isn't it? And if you've got a small comfort zone, you don't then have to push yourself. It would have been easier for me probably not to get pregnant and not research this in the first place and not challenge all that. But would it have been the right decision 10, 20 years time?
Would you still be with your partner if he...
Yeah, what would that relationship be like? And
yeah,
what might I have missed out on? So my comfort zone has expanded hugely, which is scary, because it's that familiar, but in a good way. Open up and talk to people about it and just see where it takes you.
Well, Heather, thank you so much. I don't want to keep you any longer, because it's way past your bedtime as a pregnant woman. And I'm very, very grateful for sharing your story, and particularly to inspire other women that are grappling with this fear, which is just really intense, really intense. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Lovely to talk to you.
I hope you enjoyed listening to Heather sharing her story of overcoming tocophobia. And if you're interested in joining me on the group tocophobia program, then head over to fearfreechildbirth.com and look for the Tocophobia Clearance Group. And if you want to work one-to-one, then I have my Tocophobia Support Programme, which is my most popular programme. All details can be found at the Fear Free Childbirth site. Just head over to the tab that says, How can I help you? Or I have tocophobia, and you will find all the information there to help you. Until next time, bye for now.
You've been listening to the Fear Free Childbirth Show here on UK Health Radio with me, Alexia Leachman. Fear Free Childbirth is the online destination for women seeking to take the fear out of pregnancy, birth, and beyond with fear clearance meditations, self-healing products and courses, professional training, and specialist programs for overcoming tocophobia. And if you've enjoyed this episode, then check out the Fear Free Childbirth Mamaship. It's a bit like Netflix, where you can binge on a boatload more of Fear Free Childbirth content to inspire you on the journey to motherhood and beyond. More interviews, more birth stories, more expert wisdom. Visit fearfreechildbirth.com to find out more.